Okay, good evening, bud. Everybody, welcome back to our learning at Share. I hope everyone had a meaningful Yom Tov. I'm on the bottom, starting on the bottom of page 113. For your reference, we are learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezecher Nishmas. Miriam Frond, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and Hashem should have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So I'm going to the bottom of page 113. Last time, actually, we had a very not safer Beishir, because what we did was we had an exploration of the Avos. The three times when the Avos pray, or the three times when the Gemara says that that is when the Avos establish prayer. So we're just going to repeat the bottom of page 113. I believe we said that paragraph already. I'm not going to share the same insights again, but because we weren't safer based last time, let's just go. Tefillah with tefillah, not with the sense of separateness. You must attain the habit. I'm just going to remind ourselves of what we said last time. The Divrei Chaim of San says, before prayer, I pray that during prayer, I will pray. I'm going to repeat it for those who are not here. Before prayer, I pray that during prayer, I will pray. So like, I've been doing this for like 10 seconds before daven, I'm like, and I at least have the machshava before tefillah. I'm saying, Hashem, please help me when I'm davening, let it actually be tefillah. You must attain the habit of uttering words of tefillah directly to Hashem throughout the day in the second person. And I think that's true, and I'm sure for many of us here, I know for myself, I'm always talking to Hashem. For example, you wake up in the morning, leave your house, you go to pray. If Chazal say nothing can be attained without prayer, even prayer requires prayer. If so, you must pray to Hashem before tefillah. You'll be able to pray properly, which is what the Divrei Chaim of Sons teaches, that you will have peace of mind without outer distractions from people around you. It's so hard. I find it very hard to conceptualize and to visualize. But when you're davening, you're not in that finite space. If I'm in my living room, if I'm in my kitchen, even if you're in shul, you're really before the Kisei HaKavod. That's really where you are, where you're davening. And it's very hard to conceptualize, at least for me, and visualize that. You're not in your finite, limited space in this world. You're in a whole other dimension when you pray, Vayifka b'makom, you encounter the Ribono Sha'olam. Lasuach basada. You're not in this finite space, you're in a whole other element, and it's very hard to remember that, but you need the peace of mind without outer distraction from people around you, that's for sure, or internal distraction, such as troubled thoughts and worries. Now that's an interesting point, because you would think that the troubled thoughts and worries maybe help you pray better, if there's certain bakashos or concerns are on your mind, so that can attach you more to the Ribono Sha'olam. So I'm not sure, that's just interesting, but I do understand what he means by internal distractions. Or you know, sometimes I'll give you an example, I have a kavana from myself, and my kavana, I find, in a certain bracha, leads me to think about other things that are not related to tefillah. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of it happened to me, for sure happened to me today, probably happens to me every day. In other words, I'm concentrating on the words, and concentrating on thinking a certain kavana during that bracha ends up your mind wanders to something connected to that kavana, which has nothing to do with tefillah. Yeah, you're waiting to say something.
Yeah, no, I'm always refocusing. I'm constantly, I'm saying, no, I'm here, I'm in the moment, and it's I don't know if it's men that don't do this, but women definitely have that problem.
It's very, so me too, thank you. So it's very difficult because there's outer distractions and there are internal distractions as well. I want to make sure to quote something from here, but not yet. But the key is to know that Hashem always hears us, however we're davening, and He is always listening to us. We have to make sure we're always talking to Him. I'm going to repeat that. He's always listening and hearing what we're saying. We have to make sure we're directing our words and our thoughts to Him and not to some external factor. So top of page 114, turn to Hashem and say to Him, is there a noise outside? Am I hearing something or I'm imagining?
Imagining.
I'm imagining?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Quiet.
It's very quiet.
You
hear the air conditioning.
She hears the air. She's very
okay, sensitive. Thank you. At least I'm not crazy.
No.
Turn to Hashem. I definitely heard some thank you. Turn to Hashem and say to Him, Ribono Sha'olam, Master of the World, I wish to pray. I wish to pray to You. I know I need to pray, and I don't feel it's the most important part of the day, as the Kuzari writes. So I heard Rabbi Penowin speak about this, that the Kuzari writes, instead of thinking tefillah is something that I have to fit into my day, tefillah is the goal of the day. How do you look at tefillah? It's something I have to fit in. Shkia is coming. I have to give the kids supper. This is me tonight. I have to get to Shir. The boys have to go to Marv. Now, when am I davening Mincha? Or Mincha is the primary thing that I have to do, and everything else is the secondary. Yeah?
No, you're allowed to be human and say, when am I going to fit this in?
But really, tefillah doesn't need to be fit. You're right. That's how I very often feel.
Yes.
But it's not really the best approach. The best approach is tefillah's primary.
Okay. It can't always be in that way, and you will always be disappointed.
Because you're mommy first.
If
your
you
mommy
pencil
first.
It in and say, you know what, and then
I do. I know it's something that has to be done, but the attitude is supposed to be, this is the most important part of the day, because without this, nothing else could happen. That's the key to understanding here. Without this, my soup isn't going to come out good. The laundry's not going to get done. I'm not going to be able to prepare for shiur properly. It's the key, even though, yes, it has to be fit in, because without the foundation of Tu'el Shloshet Dvarim Ha'olam Ha'omed, Ha'Torah, Ha'Avod, Ha'Val Gemilas Chasadim, it's right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. You all know this Mishnah. Avsham Shafal Hirs says, Ha'olam Ha'omed, without these three pillars, the world would cease to exist. Avod is Tefillah, yes.
But as a woman, in this part of your life, if you're doing those things to be a good mother, to give your family food, to teach a shiur to women,
I made full supper today.
And you don't get to davening because it always
it's big stuff in my house.
You don't have to daven 3 times a day. So if you're doing
correct.
These other things that are supposed to be done.
So interesting, because Robertson Kanievsky, I don't have it here, and Henny Machlis, I do have it here. They were mocked me to daven 3 times a day. I understand what you're saying. Yes. Yes.
Or even if they can't daven.
Yes.
But yes. I actually, it's interesting. I once heard that one of the reasons is because in that a woman who has a connection with Hashem in her daily
she's
care of her kids, she's constantly talking to Hashem anyway.
And also,
Ha'osek part of the heter, but really halachically there is.
Okay, so Ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah, and she's doing one of the most important mitzvahs there are, which is transmitting the Mesorah and taking care of the Jewish home. The problem with that is it could become a gray area, because sometimes there could be time. I'm not saying people here. I'm not saying every time. Sometimes you really are busy and you don't have the time, let's say. And then sometimes the 10 minutes that a woman spends, I don't know, on Facebook really could have been used for tefillah, except that she wants to rely on, I'm taking care of my children, which you are taking care of your children. But is it really true? Everyone has to ask themselves personally, if you didn't have 8 minutes for mincha, or if you did have 8 minutes but you used it for something else, it didn't have to be done right now. I'm just pointing that out. We do have to be careful with that hashkafa, because it can become, not will become, can become a personal heter. I'm not saying you. It can become a personal heter to opt out of tefillah, even when I do have time, if I get into a certain habit. But if I view it as priority, and it happens to be not me in my situation, but now I'm nursing the baby. Now I'm bathing the 2-year-old. Again, this is not for me. Now I'm nursing. Now I'm bathing the 2-year-old. Now the 5-year-old wants a snuggle. The 7-year-old needs help with homework. That's a different matzah, but at least I know that tefillah is the priority. But if I don't have it as the priority, because without tefillah, I think I can do things without prayer, then when the children get older, I perhaps have the wrong attitude, because tefillah was never a priority for me. So that's what I'm trying to say. So I should look at tefillah as the goal. Oh, lamaisa, a mother cannot always get there. Okay? But she has to know that it's without grounding of tefillah, v'ani kirvas elokim litov, then lamaisa, the other things cannot be done. And as long as I keep that perspective and try my best to fit it in at all times, then when the children are older, I'm not involved in that parsha anymore, then I know when I have to be directed. Okay? But I also know, you know, I quoted it over Shavuos. I believe I quoted it here a few weeks ago, and I quoted one of my Shavuos shiurim. It's called Living Tired or Living Inspired. Are we ready for Matan Torah? I quoted from Mishpacha just a few weeks ago, specifically regards to tefillah, that this girl came to Rabbi Grossberg in the Alternative Girls High School, Benot Chaya Academy in, Flatbush. For girls, this is what the article said in Mishpacha, for girls for whom there is no alternative. I remember I said this, and one girl said she hates tefillah. So Rabbi Grossberg said, why do you hate tefillah? So she said her mother used to lay in bed reading romance novels, screaming at her, go daven, go daven. So if the children get older and I still have the same attitude that I had when they were babies, that's a problem. And what's interesting is that, and I had 7 presentations over Shavuos, but one person came over to me after, as I was walking out, to say how much they enjoyed the shiur, and specifically mentioned that Nakuda. But an impact that specific Nakuda. That was the first shiur of the whole Yontif. You know how many shiurim there were from my first Friday night shiur till the end of Yontif? Not only from me, from all the presenters. There were a lot going on. And this person said how much they enjoyed the shiur, and specifically the Nakuda that stuck was that point. So we do have to have the proper shkafa. Prayers first. Oh, lamaisa. You know, I heard someone say something over Yontif that was very interesting. A woman named Nechama Price. She's a teacher at Stern College. Anyway, I went to one of her shiurim. But something that she said interesting is that priority is not what's most important. Priority is what has to be done now. Because she's a teacher. She said, what's most important in my life is my children, my family. But sometimes priority is I have to finish preparing a shiur. So I have to know the most important thing in my life. I can't say the most important thing in my life is tefillah. The most important thing in my life is to be connected with the Ribono Shel Olam. Every other relationship stems from that connection with God. My relationship with my children is based on my relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. My relationship with my parents is based on my relationship with Hashem. That's why Kibud Av V'Em is on the Bein Adam L'Makom side, even though it's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Hashem is like a father, we're like children. The relationship with Hashem is like the relationship of a bride and a groom. Also, and Hashem is also called a friend. We're children, he's a father, he's a chasen, we're a kala, reyachav rea avicha al tazov, he's a friend, he's malkeinu, and we're servants. Every human relationship is modeled after relationship with us and Hashem. So my priority is through connecting to Hashem, I can connect with every single person around me. Lamai says sometimes I don't have time, but I have to make sure, honestly, I really don't have time. Okay? Let's go. But I also know if you don't assist me in my prayer, I won't be able to pray. Welcome. Please, Hashem, help me so my prayer will be real and I will be able to focus correctly. And again, I'm trying to do this for like 5 seconds before I daven. Because going back to how much time do we have, you know, they say the chassid and the pious ones would spend an hour or two preparing for prayer before prayer. Clearly for us, that is totally not an option. But if you could spend 5 seconds saying, Hashem, please help me daven properly, then that in itself is tefillah. You might ask if tefillah is indeed needed to attain. I'm on, for those who just came in, we're on page 114 of the second Sefer, where it's the parentheses, paragraph 2. Right? You might ask if tefillah is indeed needed to attain anything. See, he's reiterating. And this is not the Mechaber here. Chazal reiterates this. The Chumash reiterates that. Before the Shidduch of Yitzchak, what's he doing? He's davening. Before his children were born, what's he doing? He's davening. You might ask if tefillah is needed to attain anything. From where do I have the ability to articulate the first tefillah? Isn't that interesting? How could I first daven if tefillah is needed for anything? It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? This is a good question. There's much to be said about this, but we will briefly reply. The initial prayer is from the soul, not from the brain. And that is absolute truth because tefillah is defined as avodah shebalev. So put the word heart in for soul. It should not be primarily an intellectual exercise, even though you need intellect to know what to daven, when to take 3 steps back, when to go up on your toes, kadosh, 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 when to bow. You need intellect to know how to daven properly according to halacha. But lamaisa, it has to stem from the heart and the soul. But here's not the place to elaborate. So when I read this, if tefillah is needed to attain anything, bless you, where do you have the ability to articulate the first tefillah? My mind went back to Sefer Bereishis, actually, because tefillah is woven in to the fabric of creation. And what am, of course, am I referring to? When is the first time we see the manifestation or exhibition of prayer, if you will? You know, come on, back in the beginning. When did Adam daven?
For the rain.
I can't hear.
For the rain.
For the rain. Okay. L'chalsiya chasada termia ba'aretz perek beis pasukei. So what the question we're answering is, if tefillah is needed to attain anything, paragraph 2 on page 114, where do you have the ability to articulate the first tefillah? Well, of course you have the ability to articulate the first tefillah. It was built into the fabric of creation itself. The first tefillah is part of my sabereshus. So how do I know how to take a breath? How do I know I have to seek out a spouse? Lo tov is ador, lo tov heus adam avado ezerlo eselo ezer kenegdo. How do I know I'm allowed to eat fish? So there are certain elements built into my sabrishus. Prayer is one of those things. So of course I know how to pray the first prayer. It's built into creation. This is after Perak Aleph. In Perak Aleph, everything was created. And in Perak Beis, man becomes an active participant, so to speak. All greenery of the field, says Unklus, v'chol ilanai chakala, the ilanot of the chakal, the trees of the earth, the trees of the field, termia ba'aretz, deny it sprout, v'chol esav asada termitzmach, the grasses of the field deny it grow. Why? You said it before. Ki lohim to Hashem elokim al ha'aretz. God had not brought rain, a matar, on the ground, and there was no man to work the ground. So it's a very famous question. The field didn't sprout, the trees didn't sprout, because there was no rain. So now, why does the end of the pasuk tell me there was no man to work the earth? Why? So, what happened? Finish your thought. Sima, right? Sima.
Yes. So he had to pray.
He had to God first. He had to ask for it. Nothing comes down to us without bakashos. Ma tam lo himter. Why did it not rain, says Rashi? By the way, one of the shirim I gave was fascinating to me. It was called The Life and Teachings of Rashi, a medieval scholar who revolutionized Torah study through the ages. Rashi says this, Rashi says that. Who was Rashi? What about his family? Where did he study? Where did he learn? What's legend? What's truth? It was very, very interesting for me.
Almost daily says, so grateful there's Rashi.
Who says that?
My husband.
Our husband.
He said, we couldn't do anything without
Rashi. Rav Salvechik says, without Rashi, he says, the Rambam's very nice, and he gave us a lot, not those exact words, but he does say, without the Rambam, says Rav Salvechik, I wouldn't have a job. And the audience laughs. But he says, without Rashi, quote, Torah would not have survived. That's what he says. Because Rashi makes Torah accessible to the pre-Wenayir with his Rabbi, he learns it on his level, and the Gadol Dar on a totally different level. It was fascinating. It was fascinating to prepare. Ki lo himtir. Ma tam lo himtir lefisha adam ayin la'avot es adam. There was no man to work the earth, therefore it didn't rain. The ein makir betovatan shal gushamim. Betovasan shal gushamim. Nobody recognized the goodness of rain. When Adam came and he knew it was a requirement for the world, his palal aleihem. So you know, I think this goes back to our discussion. Adam's primary task at this point was to work the earth. Okay, work is ennobling. Adam had to work the earth. So that's his primary task. But he had to have time for prayer, because if you don't pray, how could he work the land? It goes back to the mashal of the mother. I have to raise my children. I have to make supper. I made a very nice full supper tonight. Some of the kids said they're not eating. I'm like, listen, I don't often make supper during the week. Everyone's eating this supper. And Baruch Hashem, everyone ate it and enjoyed it. So again, his primary tafkid was la'avod es ha'adama. But you can't obey the adama without prayer. I can't raise my children without tefillah. So again, what's the priority? Raising my children. But the foundation is tefillah. Ve'yada shehim tzorech la'olam. One second. He knew they were necessary for the world. His palel aleihem ve'yardu ve'tzamchu ha'ilanos v'hadisha'im. He daven, rain came down, and then everything sprouted. And if you think of a child, it's such a beautiful mashal. A child who is born in this world, it's like a plant that sprouts from this dark earth, and it needs to be nurtured, and it needs to be coddled, and it needs to be weeded, and it needs to be fertilized, and it needs the water, and it needs prayer. Someone started saying, something.
I guess that also starts to sound or circle back to me as to why that first tefillah doesn't really need that pre-tefillah, because like recognizing the need or the lack is its own tefillah, like its own recognition, like it's almost like the other half. That like that first tefillah is recognizing the lack, that I'm gonna lack concentration or my thoughts are gonna wander, or that I need to, you know, I need the rain. And once I'm recognizing that lack, that's already like the preparation for that first tefillah.
So recognizing what we lack, in this example, rain, is in itself prayer. Is that what you're saying?
Recognizing that I need Hashem to fill that in, therefore I'm going to the tefillah, is almost like the pre-tefillah that he was just talking about in the original Sefer.
Very nice. So you're saying the pre-tefillah is recognizing that I can't do anything without Hashem, including davening, including raising children, including going to work, including making soup, including farming the land, and therefore that recognition itself is a prayer?
Right, it's already recognizing like I need to daven. Why? Because like, oh, I have this lack. It's like that first half of why I don't need to.
Okay, very nice. Very nice. Yes? You're saying Hashem Sefasai Tivtach Ufi Yagita Secha. That's a little bit of, that's not a little bit, that's a prayer that Hashem should help me daven. Very nice. Tom Kapitul Nun Aleph in Tehillim. Very nice. Very nice. You're saying that how do we introduce the 19 brachos of Shmona Esrei with a prayer that Hashem should open our lips? Hashem Sefasai Tivtach Ufi, so that my mouth may say your praise. Also very, very nice. Very nice, Nakuda. Both very nice. Yes. Okay, so, you know, there's a principle that Chazal grapple with, which is the ultimate example that I would think of in such a situation, I'm not talking about Jews, I'm talking about when bad things happen, when good things happen to not good people. But I don't think of Jews when I say that. I think of Rasha'im. There are Rasha'im in this world, and that they seem to prosper, and it seems that good things happen to them. So we don't understand that. That's the Maisa, we just don't understand that. Chazal don't understand that principle. Moshe wanted to understand Hashem's ways, we can't understand. So I have to worry for my own avoda, and as a believing Jew, everybody came from Adam. The patriarchs established prayer. We spoke about that at length last week. I have a foundation to my Mesorah and my Emunah that nothing happens. Everybody speaks about this. Rav Pinchas speaks about it. Salvechik speaks about it. The Gemara speaks about it. Pirkei Avos speaks about it. Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch, I'm about to quote him now. Nothing happens without tefillah. There's a beautiful medrash that Hashem has storehouses and waiting to give us the gifts. But Lamaisa, Rav Pinchas says you have to put out your hand. This mechaber says you have to put out your hand to receive the gift, and the hand is prayer. In terms of how Hashem deals with other people, there are things we can't understand. Yeah.
I think I heard once that it also could be that. I mean, you've said many times that the concept of tefillah is that you're supposed to be getting close to Hashem. Sometimes there are people that maybe have everything they need, seemingly. Hashem may not be so interested in their tefillah, and sometimes people who have sorrows, like it's kind of a way of Hashem, you know, he wants to hear from them. You know, people naturally reach out when things are, you know, going wrong. That could be kind of a... Right, but the concept, even if it's small things, but like...
Chazal say, why were the foremothers barren? Chazal say that because Hashem is misave b'tfilas and shel tzadikim. Chazal pashut say that. But Chazal speaks about it before Chana. Way before Chazal say about the imahos themselves, not Leia to take her out of the picture. Actually, Leia does fit into the picture. So I saw it brought down by Rav Elio Kitov. Leia doesn't fit the bill. You know, Sesame Street, I used to watch when I was a little kid, the four boxes, which of these things doesn't belong? So you have Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, everybody's struggling. And what about Leia? She's having one after another. In fact, if you consider that she had seven children, that's like a huge family for the imahos. I'm really not making a joke. How many children did they have? Sarah had one, Rivka had two, one was a Rasha, Rachel, by the grace of God. She wasn't even supposed to have two. How many did Leah have? She had six Shvatim and Dina. Think of what a huge family that is compared to the rest of us. So Rav Elio Kitov brings down something beautiful. The other imahos davened, and therefore they finally changed their nature and they were given children. Hashem is misavel, tefilas and sel tzadikim. That's what Chazal say pasha. What about Leah? Says Rav Kitov, he explained she did daven. She davened before her marriage. She cried and she cried and she cried and she cried. She didn't want to marry Esav. And all of that went to her marriage. So that when she was married, she had already put in her daven. Hashem was misavel tefilasa. He wanted her tefilos, and she got them because she thought she was going to ola legoralo shel Esav. So once again, you see what occurs without prayer. If there are people in Maisa who don't daven, in terms of Jews, I don't even want to go there. In terms of Rishayim, who clearly are not connected to the Ribono Shel Olam, and they get good things, Pashem, there's no answer to that. That's just touching upon Sadek Baralo and Rasha Vatovlo, and there's just no answer. There's just no answer. But Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch points out on this pasuk, Perek Beis Pasuk Hei, which I'm talking about now, which we're talking about now, called Siach Hasada Termia Ba'aretz, right? The plants hadn't yet sprouted. And Unka says Ilan, the trees had not yet sprouted. But we spoke about this word Siach last week, because if you remember, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. So this word means plants, Bereishis 2:5, and this word also means prayer, Bereishis 24:63. Okay, Parshas Chayisara. So the word means two things. It means prayer, based on the Chumash, and it means plants, based on Chumash. So how do we connect them? So Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch says beautifully, Siach denotes growth. That's your answer. Plants grow, and through prayer, human beings grow. Jews grow. Siach denotes growth. Hence, it also denotes the spiritual growth of man. So what's the word? Misnomer? Misnomer?
Misnomer.
Misnomer. Am I using it in the correct context? It's not a misnomer. Finish my thought. That siach can mean two things that don't seem to be related.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So on the one hand, you don't think plants and tefillah have anything to do with each other, but on the other hand, they have everything to do with each other. In both instances, something is growing. In one case, the plant is growing, and in the other case, man is spiritually growing. According to our sages, in Bereishis Rabbah 13:2, that's what Rosh Hashanah Shofar says, but according to the Torah, we raised our Rashi and Unkelos last week, Siach denotes prayer. Why? One who prays drinks from the source of spiritual life. The plant drinks from water to grow. One who prays drinks from the source of spiritual life. The Ribbono Shel Olam. He, and these are in quotes, he waters and refreshes every fiber of his inner being to produce blossoms and flowers. The reason I'm doing this in quotes is because that's from Shem Sharval Hirsch has quotes. I'm going to repeat it. The implication is, Siach denotes prayer. One who prays drinks, that's in quote, from the source of spiritual life, just like the plant drinks from physical water. He waters and refreshes every fiber of his inner being, and he produces blossoms and flowers. Okay? Siach denotes, in this case, the growth of vegetation. Plants were created on the third day, but they made no progress. They did not grow because there was no rain until man came along and davened for rain. So you can see in this pasuk how the same word denotes prayer and plants. What was needed in order for the siach hasadeh to grow? You needed the sicha of Adam. In order for the plants to grow, you needed prayer. In both cases, siach, says Rav Hirsch, denotes growth, whether it's physical plant growth or spiritual growth through prayer. Okay, let's go. Everyone wants to say psukei dezimra, as they should be said. That's true. And why you want to reach the Shemona Esrei, the main part of prayer, without being distracted by extraneous thoughts. Commonly, a person will struggle against some... So this is what you just said, Malki, which is very validating. We struggle against our thoughts time and again. And it doesn't seem to help. Like, you know, how old am I? And I'm still working on this. And oh my gosh, Rahman al-San, may God help me. Like, please help me already. However, our avoda must be totally different. Since a person knows he prayed yesterday, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before, and each time distracting thoughts came to him. So what do I have to do? Stop. I make a request before I pray. Master of the world, I beg you. Let's say like you mean it. I've been trying in my own book, I underline this line, double underline. I've been trying for days and years to pray properly. It's such a tremendous avoda, which is why the Gemara says, it's right in the beginning of Tainis, which is why the Gemara says, Ezi avoda she believe, have omer zohi tfila. What is prayer of the heart? Avoda. Avoda denotes when you think of avadim hayinu, the parab Mitzrayim, you think of slavery, you think of being in the trenches. It's hard work. It's a major avoda. Because there are always distractions. I don't want distractions. Help me by removing them. Help me to have proper kavana in my prayer. I remember that my brother told me many years ago, he asked Rav Pam Shlita in Toronto. Rav Pam Zasel's son, who's in Toronto, Rav in Toronto, he asked him, what should he do to enhance his kavana? So Rav Pam said to him, to enhance your kavana, you should understand the words. You need to, first of all, know what you're saying. If you don't know what you're saying, you know, if you're reading something that's translated from Japanese, then okay, I might be able to read the words, but Lamaisi told my brother, you have to know what the words mean. At least know what you're asking for, know what you're crying for, know what you're davening for. In the Siddur, what am I saying? And that, on some level, at least, will give us a head start into removing the distractions and to help me have proper intent. That was his etza in prayer. If the main tefillah is not preceded by tefillah, and I love what you said, sir, Hashem's tefillah tiftach fiyagit tzacha, is really a prayer that we should pray. Hashem, you should open my mouth so my lips should say your praise. I open my lips so my mouth should say your praise. But it will not be real. It will be superficial and lacking inner power. And I think, I shouldn't say you. I know what it means to have superficial prayer. And then when you finish, it's bad. I don't like it. I don't want to have this. Why do I go through these periods where it's so hard to daven properly? It really does lack inner power. There will be and in that case, there will be a sense of separateness from Hashem. But what we have to understand is that that's a victory for the Yetzer Hara. The greatest thing for the Yetzer Hara is to separate us from Hashem. It's worse than sin. It's what comes after sin. Wow, you're bad. You didn't do what Hashem wanted. You messed up. You didn't do it properly. And slowly, slowly, he takes us away from Hashem. And, you know, I was thinking to myself today, my Yetzer Hara is so, I don't remember what I said about him, but like not good. I may have said, I was talking in my head, that he's S-T-U-P-I-D. But then I said, no, he's really not. He's just doing a very good job. He's doing his job. I have to do my job. he's really not bad, even though we call him the Yetzer Hara. He's doing a certain job, and I also have to do a certain job. And he wants to distract us, and he's very happy when we're distracted. If the main tefillah is not preceded by tefillah, it will not be real, it will be superficial. I can personally relate to that, unfortunately, and it will lack inner power. There will be a sense, therefore, of separateness from Hashem, because you start, you know, you say to yourself, well, Hashem doesn't want to hear from me. Someone said this before. Who said this? Someone touched upon this. Okay. Didn't someone say this? Okay, I'm making something up. To clarify, Hashem always wants to hear from us. The sometimes I tell myself, you didn't do it right, now he's not interested in you. That itself is the Yetzer Hara. That's a very big Yetzer Hara. This was but one example. Tefillah for every detail. The idea of praying before we do anything applies throughout the entire day. Even when you conclude your daily tefillah and you turn to other endeavors, you must pray about each act that you do. If you're about to eat breakfast, it was very cute because I was preparing this while I was eating. So I was eating while I was reading this paragraph. If you're about to eat breakfast, pray to be able to eat properly. That while eating, you will not be engrossed in the food, but in spirituality, such as Torah and the love of Hashem. This isn't an impossible thing to do, by the way. It's not impossible. You should at least try and have a kavana. I should at least try to have a kavana before I eat, that this food should give me the nutrients I need and the sustenance I need and the vitamins I need and the koach that I need. It only takes a few seconds to think that, by the way. Okay, maybe he means for somebody, you know, Rav Shtaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha ate an egg a day. Okay, so I'm not going to be on that level, but at least to have the kavana that the food is to fuel me in a positive way to serve Hashem. Yes? She did. When she made her kids sandwiches, she would say, please let it have the nutrients. When she cut the snacks, and I try when I remember, if I do try sometimes, before you're eating, we can all say, not to be so engrossed in the food. It's very hard in the society in which we live. It's a very big Yetzer Hara of our society, but to try and be involved in spirituality, such as Torah and the love of Hashem. If you are about to learn Torah, pray to understand it properly. So you have to daven for everything. If you're on the way to work, pray to be saved from disturbances, such as forbidden sights. As long as you're alive in this world, you have to use this method. For example, if you're working to attain awareness of Hashem for a half an hour, look at this, you totally lost it. And then remember after, turn to Hashem and say, so he says, you know, within that half an hour, of course you should be thinking of Hashem. I know you're here, I keep forgetting. Help me remember this important principle and to have a deeper remembrance of it. Another example, you might be developing faith in divine providence. You should contemplate various matters and say, please make me worthy of having deep-rooted faith in your providence. You know, it's so nice. I was going to give an example, but I don't want to give it now. Please make me worthy of having deep-rooted faith in your divine providence. Sometimes it's so clear that you see Hashem's hashkacha, and it's so beautiful when you see that, because he's really rewarding you. If you're working on something, and you see Hashem's hashkacha is his way of saying, you're on the right path, and I'm with you, and you see it more clearly in those times. So since you brought up Henny, I was planning to quote from her anyway. Why are you laughing? Pardon?
Divine providence.
Oh, yes, yes, that's a good example. Henny loved to tell this story. Some 15 years ago, with the Intifada raging, Rebbetzin Tzipporah Heller went to her Rav Elyashiv Zatzal for advice. What should I do, she asked the Rav. Should I go to rallies? Should I write letters? Is there anything I should do? O rak lihis palel, or should I only daven? Rak lihis palel? Only rock, said Elyashiv with a look of disdain. Zekol ma sheyesh. Zehakol. Rock? In other words, should I only daven if I can't do anything else? He said, should you only daven? That's all there is. Davening is everything. And that really relates to the beginning of our shir this evening. The understanding that it's not rak lehit palel. Kol ma sheyesh zeh tefillah. Because nothing in the world, this whole world was created in pristine condition. But without plants, there would be no continuation of the world. What would man eat? The earth wouldn't grow. And without Adam's tefillah, without his spiritual growth, the plants, without his sicha, the siach hasadah could not come up. That's all there is. For Hani, davening was everything. She had faith that Hashem is truly the only operative force in the universe. She believed with prayer everything is possible. A new skirt, an apartment for your child, checking into a flight with a 90-pound suitcase, healing an incurable condition, straining buck teeth. Hashem does everything and could do anything. Just ask Him. So in other words, what's important about that point also is that we need to daven for the very small things in life, and we need to daven for the very big things in life. Nothing's too big for Hashem, and nothing's too small for Hashem. To her, the purpose of life was to connect to Hashem, and prayer was the means to forge that connection. That's what we said in the beginning. The purpose of life is to connect to Him. He's our Father, we're His children. He's our King, we're His servants. He's our groom, we're our bride. What else did I say? He's the master, we're the slaves. He's the husband, we're the wife. Am I forgetting one? Yeah, He's the friend, we're the friend. Everything is to connect to Hashem, and prayer is the means to forge that connection. Let's go. So you want to have a deep remembrance of this. Where am I up to? Another example. Oh no, divine providence, yes. There are many details, but the point is the same. A person who lives with the truth will not let 10 minutes pass without some kind of prayer. So what do you think of that? I'm asking you honestly.
You spoke about this, that over the day you should always be talking to Hashem.
Right, so I'm asking if we find that it's something that we do.
Yeah, I started doing it.
What?
I started doing it, but my guide thinks that...
But what?
My guide thinks I'm possessed.
Who does?
Her cleaning woman.
My cleaning woman thinks I'm
so don't
possessed.
Say it out loud in front of her.
I was doing my shopping, which is very mundane, and it was a perfect time for me to...
When you're what?
When you're doing something mundane that doesn't need brain work, like chopped meat.
Right.
It was like a perfect...
Chopped meat? Did she say chopped
meat? Yeah.
Oive, you know what that reminds me of. What does that remind me of? And tefillah. Lahavdil. Miriam Peretz and her meatballs.
Oh.
Lahavdil. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, no, so it's just any mundane type of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. When I'm driving, I say, Hashem, please help me get to where I'm going safely. When I get to where I'm going, I say, Hashem, thank you, Hashem, for helping me get here. Before I walk into Shir. What?
Parking spot.
Parking spot? If yes, and before I go into Shir, I either say, Hashem, Sifa, say, Tivtech, V'yagitil Sechor, have a few kapitlech of Tehillim that I say, the acknowledgement that, like, I can't speak without Hashem helping me speak. Whatever I'm doing, help me get the laundry done on time, whatever it is, you should literally not, and look what he says, a person who lives with the truth will not let 10 minutes pass without some kind of prayer. This is the prayer that you mentioned before, the prayer of the woman who's too busy for the regulatory. He's not talking about picking up your sitter every 10 minutes. That's not what we mean here. And then he says, sentence, this is no exaggeration. It means that the whole day we should be connected to Hashem. Every guy, why are you smiling? Go ahead.
No, it's a very difficult thing.
It is very difficult.
As connected as you feel like being every 10 minutes.
It's very difficult.
That's some feats.
It is.
As you sit, that's a matter nursing home, either on the phone or writing, doing something like, yes.
But you know, I want to tell you something. If we try and make brachos with kavana, it makes it much easier. Because let's say you make asher yatzar, not walking, not talking, not checking your phone. You just stop for those few seconds. It takes more than like 1 second to say asher yatzar properly. So that right away redirects you. And every time you make a shahakon, every time you make a bar nefashos, and every time you make a mezonos. So there's a reason why Chazal say you're supposed to say Me'er Brachos, Ma Hashem Lekach Sho'al Me'imcha, Kim Lira, so Ma, don't read it Ma, read it Me'ya. There's a reason connecting through Hashem, through Brachos, helps us establish this connection every few minutes. Because the truth is, the Maisa, during the course of the day, we do find many times to make Brachos. And therefore, it can be a time to connect with Hashem without needing to stop to remember, oh, I have to connect with Hashem while I'm doing the Chami, I'm making a Bracha. This is a perfect opportunity to connect with Hashem. Of course, there's a long road to travel before reaching that level. But nonetheless, the proper way of life is to always have, I love the sentence, it's so pasha, but it's so profound. You should always have the company of Hashem. You should always feel He's with you. He's always next to me, whether He's my father in that situation, or He's my master in a different situation, or He's my groom in one situation, or He's my friend. You should always feel that you're in His company. Of course, there will be intermittent periods of forgetting, that they will be followed by remembrance. So next week, what we're going to do, Bli Neder, is begin with Pirkei Avos, where Chazal speak about not forgetting your learning. Let's finish this paragraph. Great people have lived to attain the highest level of closeness to Hashem. There have been people in our day. There have been gedolim in our day. They embody what we say in a Rosh Hashanah prayer. Happy Ashri Am Dam Shaleish Kachacha. Happy is a man who never forgets you. Only rare individuals can live without ever forgetting. So for the rest of us, we need to remember not to forget. Nevertheless, even the average person must yearn to orient himself in that direction. So that's what we said. Even if I can't attain a level right now, I should at least have the idea of where I'm striving to be. This is the primary. Oh, I become distracted. Oh, I have other things to do. Oh, I'm not at that level. But to know where I'm striving to be. Questions or comments? Yes. Wait, you have to talk louder for me, please.
Back to the question before about things happening out here.
Yes.
Like what you said, right? I did hear that like sometimes it can be from my great-grandmother that we
found
for her great-grandmother.
So it's a tefillah. Very nice. So we don't know who else's tefillah brought that bracha to that person. Very nice. Maybe a friend's davening for her, and we don't know. Maybe that person's not davening, and a friend is davening. Very important. Nakuda. Very, very nice. Okay, thank you, ladies. Everyone should have a good Shabbos and a week of Menuchas Nefesh. Hashem Shansar Tfilas Latova.